All right, again, well, welcome to Vertical Church Milwaukee. My name is Jesse Schmidt, and I'm the lead pastor here. We're so thankful that you have chosen to worship with us this morning, and it's so nice outside, right? Like, I was unloading boxes with my boys this morning out of the trailer, and we're just, like, singing praise songs, because it's, like, we're in t-shirts, not quite t-shirts, but, you know, it's so fun to watch spring come in. You know, we live in Wisconsin and it's cold and it's been a bitter season. But then we just get to watch slowly the weather change and life come about. And you know, that's what's part of being in God's family is like. And we go through seasons where we see, you know, it's been cold and it's hard and it's difficult. And then we start to get to see just the fruit of what God is doing in that. And that's part of what God's doing in this church plant. And I was talking to just the leadership team this morning who do a lot of the setup and tear down. And, you know, it is so encouraging just to be able to watch God continue to grow and move. And there's been a lot of hard work put in. You know, but then we get to see God work in that. So we're glad that you get to be a part of that this morning and joining us. And just a couple of ways that you can connect with us this morning. If you're visiting with us the first time, or you've come a couple times and you have yet to do this, right after the service, myself and my wife, Ashley, who's currently taking a picture. You know how weird it is that to stand right here and your wife takes a picture for social media? It's hard to do that. But we will be right outside. We have a connections table that we want to be able to give you a gift and just tell you a little bit more about our church and just let you know what's going on and answer any questions that you might have. Along with that, we also want to connect with you. We have our connection folder on the end of the aisle. If you could just fill that out, let us know that you were here. But along with that, at the bottom of that, there's a place to put prayer requests. We believe firmly in the power of prayer. We believe that God changes us through prayer. And we want to be praying for this church, and we want to be praying specifically for you. And so if you want to just put that down on there, put a prayer request down on there as well. And we'll be praying for you. And then I can also reach out to you this week and just get to know you a little bit more. And along with that too, if you are just kind of getting to know us and check us out a little bit and you want to get to know us as a church a little bit more, we believe in Sunday mornings and we believe in midweek life groups. And if you want to see what God is doing, that's a great opportunity. And you can just come talk to me about that after the service as well. But other than that, we have our Easter service coming up. We have both Good Friday and Easter right here in this theater. We're going to be rocking out on Good Friday next to all the movies, so we got to be louder than them. But it's going to be a family experience. We're renting out just one space, and so bring your whole family. I'm not going to be up here preaching the whole time. We're going to be praying and singing songs and doing things together, and so we're going to bring all of our kids in here. It's going to be just a good time of remembering the work of Christ on the cross and just getting our hearts ready for Easter Sunday. And so that'll be from 6 to 7 on Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, we're in here 9:30. If you want some invite cards, we have a bunch of them out on the connections table, and we'd love to see this place just full and celebrating the resurrected Savior. But along with that, the guys are going to take the offering, and after they take the offering, if you don't have a Bible, we preach from the Bible every Sunday morning. I could be clever and funny and say a lot of good words, but they really mean nothing. This is everything. And we want you to have a Bible in your hand. And so if you don't have a Bible, Steve's got some Bibles over there. So after they pass the offering, he'll just kind of hold them up. And if anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. We'll give it to you. Take it home. Keep it. Mark it up. Use it. Because it's a good book to have on your shelf. But let me pray for the offering and we'll keep going. God, we come before you. And God, we just thank you that we get to be together. And God, we thank you that we get to give of our time. God, give our tithes and our offerings. God, that we get to give of our lives back to you, Lord. And God, we pray that as we do that, Lord, that you would take that and multiply it, use it far beyond like, any way that we can. And God, as we open up your word this morning, as we're in 1 Peter, Lord, I pray that you would move in us and just, God, give us understanding of how to apply this to our own life. And God, I pray that we would, as we look at your words, hear from you, Lord. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to work and to move and to be illuminating this passage for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are in 1 Peter. We have two sermons left. two sermons left. So this Sunday and next Sunday. And we've been going through 1 Peter because 1 Peter, it applies to our culture so well right now. You know, we live in a culture where Christianity is no longer like heavily involved in the culture. You know, we've kind of been banished, pushed outside of the norm, pushed outside of the influential culture. And, you know, back when my parents were growing up and even before then, you know, the churches held places of high esteem in cities and in the government and in different places. And, you know, the church had influence and Christians had influence. And if you were a Christian, people respected you. And that's changing. That's no longer the case. And, you know, a lot of times when you claim to be a follower of Jesus, when you claim to go to church, sometimes people look frowned out. They frown down upon you. They, you know, they think you are a hypocrite or, it's getting harder and harder to figure out what it means to be a Christian in this culture. And how do we impact this culture that no longer holds Christianity in high esteem? I love what Peter says because it's, you know, he kind of goes through this whole thing. He'll say it again today, but in the end, he gets right back to the very basics. He says, trust God and live as a Christian. You want to see God work in your culture? Trust God and live as a Christian. Choose to walk the narrow path and just let people see it. And so that's why we're going through 1 Peter. We're in 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12 today. And we're talking about putting God on display. We're talking about putting God on display, allowing people to see God in your life. Now, we had our stove go out about, 6 weeks ago, right? 6 weeks ago. So we've been stoveless for 6 weeks. My wife has gotten really good at the Instapot and the Crock-Pot. They're like constantly going in her house right now. She's got some good recipes. But we're excited to finally, we have a new stove coming on Tuesday. But we, praise the Lord. I got a good story about that. If you want to talk about a good story, come talk to me. It's fun. We can talk about that later. But we were looking for new stoves, and we were trying to figure out what stove we wanted to buy. And so we were looking at this brand and that brand and Consumer Report and this website and that website. And we were reading all of these different reviews, trying to figure out which is the right stove to get. And, reviews are really hard. Do you know that? Like, it's like, how do I trust this person? And we would read all of these reviews, and these people would write these things, and they would be like, I got this stove yesterday, and it's wonderful. Like, thanks, that doesn't really help me. I just put this stove in, and it looks beautiful. I'm giving it 5 stars. It's like, I don't want that review. That doesn't help me at all. And then we'd get to some reviews, it would be like this lady who would be like, I'm an avid cooker. I've been cooking and baking for years. I have a family of 76, and I've had this stove for 7 years. It's been through 9 Thanksgivings. I have no idea how that works, 7 years, 9 Thanksgivings, but it does. It's been through 9 Thanksgivings, 6 Christmases. I've had 3 pots blow up on it, and it's still wonderful. That's the review I want. Yes. That's what God's calling us to be. We are called to be, they're putting God on display. And, a lot of what Peter's been talking about is talking about living as a Christian in suffering. And that's one of the best ways for us to put God on display. People don't want to see a bunch of people who, just kind of, I'm great. Yesterday was my day. They want to see faithful Christians who lived this life day in and day out, in and out of suffering, where every moment that person pointed back and said, no, it was God. It was God. It was God. Through that suffering and through that trial, through that time and this time, it was God. We are called to put God on display. And that's what he's talking about this morning in 1 Peter, that our suffering should lead us or should cause us to display God more. And the first thing that Peter reminds us is he's trying to get us to the place where we are putting God on display, that suffering is a test. Suffering is a test. Look at the first verse of our passage in verse 12. It says, beloved. So he's coming back and kind of restarting again. Every time he names them, he's kind of coming back and starting a little new section. And so he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when they come upon you to test you as though they were something strange or that something strange was happening to you. He's saying, don't be surprised. It's a test. And he uses this idea of a test because tests are a normal part of our lives. And they happen on a regular basis. You know, and anytime something that's supposed to happen on a regular basis is a surprise to us, we're in trouble. You know, think about like the freshman in college. John, I'm not talking about you, but maybe I am. I have no idea. You can tell me afterwards. But think about the freshman in college, you know, that shows up to college for the first week and they're all excited. And, you know, the first week comes and they get all their homework and they're bogged down and they're like, all right, I'm going to go to bed at 9:30 so I can get up in the morning and work on my homework. They go to bed at 9:30 and their neighbors aren't going to bed at 9:30. And they come walking out, hey guys, it's 9:30, I need to go to bed. Like, that's not, come on, bro, that's not going to happen. Okay, that's not real life. This isn't, you know, when it's a problem with something that's normal is a surprise to us. And that's why Peter is reminding the church in dispersion, that suffering is a normal part of life. It's a normal test. It shouldn't be surprising to us. He says, brothers, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when they come upon you. We can't, you know, he says, and don't act like this is something strange. We need to be understanding that trials are coming. They're a normal part of the Christian life. They are something God uses. Why? Because they're a test. They're a test. It shows what God is doing in our life. God uses it to test us to the world, and God uses it to test us to our own selves to see God's faithfulness in us. You know, it allows God to show us how he's growing us and moving us, and they're a normal part of life. You know, I played football in high school, and I was never really good at tests in high school, so I'm not going to talk about those. But I played football in high school, and one of my coaches, he would have us do all of these tests or these drills throughout the year. And he would, you know, time them in, at the beginning of the year and time them halfway through the year and then time them again at the end of the year so we could see our progression. We could see how we were growing, how we could, you know, the areas that we needed to grow. And, you know, it did a couple things for us. One, as I would see my times get better, it gave me faith in the program that our coach was having us do. I could see it work. And I'd be like, yeah, that is working. And it helped me believe a little bit more. And it would also, you know, show me a few places, well, that's not working, and so I need to change something there. I need to grow in that. And, you know, and tests are really good for us. They help us see what's happening. And Peter is reminding the church, listen, this is a normal part. Tests are normal. They allow us to see God's faithfulness so we can trust him. And they allow us to put God on display in front of the people. Don't consider it strange. You know, because in a lot of times we think, kind of like I did yesterday, that's why I opened up with that story. You know, if we serve God and work hard and do the things that God has called us to, we have our quiet time, we get 10 minutes of prayer here, 12 minutes of prayer there, we do this, we live this way, we tithe, we do that, that we shouldn't have suffering because we're doing the right things as a Christian. You know, this should be a peaceful life. Lord, I have given all I have for you, and so this life should be stress and suffer free. And you know what happens then is we get all bent out of shape when suffering comes. Why, Lord? We get angry and bitter and we lose out on what God is doing. But now he says, listen, this is normal. Suffering is a test. Don't be surprised, beloved, when fiery trials come your way, because they're going to come. We believe something so different than the rest of this world. There's no way for us to coexist without trials. And God uses that in our life to test us, to grow us, to shape us. And instead of being surprised by it, we need to use it to see God's faithfulness. We need to use it to check our own heart and our own life. And so as we, you know, and Peter here is referring specifically to trials that come because of your faith. You know, when we step out and tell people that we're believers or tell people that we go to church or tell people we're part of a church plant or when we step out and share the faith with people and we're ostracized or we're looked down upon or we're made fun of or, you know, we're moved outside of the normal, you know, these things that come about because we are followers of Jesus is what he's referring to. But also just in any situation where you give of your life for the Lord and he allows suffering in your life, he's doing it to test you. And instead of being surprised by it, we need to use it in our life. Lord, what are you showing me? God, what are you wanting me to change? Lord, I remember the last time I went through this and man, I saw you show up here and here and here. Man, I can keep putting my faith in you. So suffering is a test. And it reveals God through that. But then the second thing is suffering reveals God's work in us. Suffering reveals God's work in us. So look at verse 13. He says, but rejoice. That word should be circled in your Bible. If you have your phone and you try to circle it, I don't know what's going to happen, but do something else. But that word should be, you know, circled, underlined, memorized. He says, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when the glory or when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and the God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if any of you or if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You know, suffering is not just a test, but suffering also reveals God's work in us. You know, like I said before, a lot of times, you know, we think that, well, I shouldn't suffer. I shouldn't go through this. And we get bent out of shape, but we can't do that. You know, when God allows us to go through suffering, what he's doing is he's trying to put himself on display. He's trying to show off his work in us. And it, you know, Peter kind of goes to this nice little argument here that leads us to this conclusion that shows us how this works out. And the first thing that he says, but rejoice. Say what? Rejoice? He's not saying rejoice just on Sunday mornings or just when that, you know, big break at work comes through or when you get out of that trial, or he's not just saying rejoice when the Brewers beat the Cubs today, or he's not saying, no, he's saying rejoice in trials. Rejoice in the hard parts of life. Say what? Yeah. Why? Well, it says, insofar as you share in Christ's suffering. Well, that doesn't make much sense. But it does. You see, Christ suffered on our behalf. You know, Christ gave of himself. You know, God created us and we spit in God's face back in Genesis 3 and we rejected God. But from that very moment, after Adam and Eve sinned, after we turned our back on God, as we looked upon back on our Christmas series, we talked about the promise that God gave in Genesis 3, the promise that the Messiah was coming, that Jesus was coming, and that sin problem that we brought in that he was going to fix. And from that moment on in Genesis 3, God was revealing Jesus over and over and over again. And he is coming, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. And God would reveal himself a little more. And God would reveal himself a little more. And finally, God revealed himself fully in the person of Jesus. And you want to know how Jesus showed up? As a baby in a manger. You see, God's path to his glory is through suffering. It is giving of yourself fully to the plan of God so God can fully work in you. That was first done in Jesus when Jesus, who was God and is God, gave of himself and emptied himself according to Philippians 2 and put himself under God for God's plan so that he could take our place on the cross. So he could pay for our sins and take our place so that then when we now are looked upon, if you are a follower of Jesus, we are no longer looked upon of our sin because Christ paid for that, but now we're looked upon of Christ's perfect life. And you see, when we go through suffering on behalf of God, we get to step into that life and be a part of that life. And the filling that God had himself, the Holy Spirit, we get to be a part of when we share in those sufferings. But not only that, but he adds to it. He says, "When insofar as you share in the sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." You see, we are sharing in the sufferings for the sake of eternity. We share now. We give of our life now because God is coming back again. And we get to see the glory of God come down, and we get to be a part of that celebration of God. You know, Romans 8 also talks about this a little bit. If you want to flip over there real fast, he says in Romans 8, looking at, we'll start in verse 15. He's just going back. He's, oh man, Romans 8 is just outstanding. Someday when I'm a far better preacher, I'll preach through Romans and preach through this. But you got to come back in like 15 years. But it says this, starting in verse 15, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom by we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we might be children of God." In our lowest moments, our most difficult times, the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirits. Nothing that we do and everything that God does. He says, "And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy of comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." See, why do we rejoice in our sufferings? Because we understand that we are suffering for the sake of the gospel and to display God, but we know at the end of that suffering is eternity in heaven forever. And so we can rejoice. Lord, I get to be a part of this with you. In that hardest moment at work, in that trial with your kids, at school with your classmates, when you are suffering, we can rejoice. You want to talk about putting God on display? This is so backwards. But this is what God calls us to do. But not only that, he says, verse 14, "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed." So not only are we supposed to rejoice in our suffering, but if we're insulted, we're blessed. Back in 1 Peter 4. "If you are insulted, you're blessed for the name of Christ, or for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Peter's reminding, listen, if you suffer for the sake of the gospel, if someone mocks you because of your testimony, you can rejoice because you know that you are saved and the Holy Spirit's in you. That is showing God at work. When you step out in faith and you can stay in that place, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you. And when you can withstand what the world brings, it's not because of you, it's because of the Holy Spirit. Because God rests upon you. And when we see that, it's like God's got this. You see, when we put God on display through our sufferings, it's not just for those around us. It is. But it's also for ourselves. When we can look back and see what God has done in our life time and time and time again. When we can step out and declare God in the face of insult. We don't have to be ashamed and cower back. No, we can rejoice. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's working in me. And can you believe if we would live like this? Like there are so many times where I have kept my mouth shut because I don't want to be insulted. And to be honest, when you look at the big picture, it's so dumb, but I do it. I do it. There are times I have a hard time telling people I'm a pastor because I'm afraid of what they're going to think of me. But God's working in us. And if we really believe this, that when we are insulted for the name of Jesus, that we are blessed, man, that changes everything. We no longer have a fear of man. We celebrate when everybody else would cower because they're being mocked. And, you know, right now, everything is about public opinion of yourself and the things you believe in and what you put behind. But we have the confidence of God and the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to understand that when we do suffer for our faith, it's a blessing because God's working in us. And it's the Holy Spirit moving in us. And he says in verse 15, he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Okay. If you suffer for a dumb reason, it's your own fault. We can all agree on that, right? So don't do that. That doesn't count. But then verse 16, he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You see what we're doing? When we suffer because we're followers of Jesus, we are putting God on display. We are letting people see that God is alive and well in our life. When we rejoice in our sufferings because we get to relate to Jesus in a whole new way and experience the presence of Jesus as we go through that suffering with him. And as we get to rejoice because we understand that God's glory is coming and we're going to spend eternity in heaven forever in all perfection. And we get to celebrate. Man, that's so different than what our world brings. And then when they see us, then we are insulted, but we're not insulted. You can say whatever you want. I don't really care. I'm going to keep loving you and telling you about Jesus. When people's pressures on us doesn't change our convictions of Jesus. And we understand that we are blessed because of that. You are putting God on display. But not only that, but then as you see yourself do it, you see yourself grow, you also then understand that the Holy Spirit's working on you. The thing that God has called you to do is working. And we're encouraged by that. Every time I take that step, I can't tell you how many times I don't want to tell people. It's like, all right. I step through and tell somebody about what's going on and what God is doing. It's like, all right, that's God working on me. I didn't blow up there. I can do it again. And you see, we get to see God's faithfulness. You know, when we moved into our house here in Greenfield, okay, we were meeting out of our house. So we started before we actually launched the church. We had a core team, and a lot of them are still here today. And it's so fun to see God continue to move. But we had this core team, and we would meet in our house because we didn't have a building. And, but to get to that point, we had to finish off our basement to have kid space. Cause there's, I don't know if you notice when you walk out of church, there's going to be like a bajillion kids running around. Half of them are mine. But we have a lot of kids around and it's great. We love that. But we had to get this basement finished off. So I started ripping it out. And it was like the perfect 1960s Wisconsin finished basement. Okay. Like pool table, paneling, and a mini bar. Like everything was there. And so I started ripping this thing out and trying to get it ready. And there was this mini bar that just looked disgusting. They didn't paint it very well. And it was kind of like old and grungy and you could see it. And it's like, all right, this thing's got to go. And so I started tearing this thing apart. And I thought, and most of the time my kids would come down and they'd help me out with it. And you know, I thought it'd be like a quick 45-minute job. And as I started to pull this thing apart and started to take off that top layer and started to see what was really under this thing, I was like, oh man. Okay, why? Because this guy who built this mini bar, I have no idea who he is, sometime in the 60s, I think. He did an awesome job. Like this dude took scrap wood with no power tools. You could tell there's no power tools. And he had a nice little angle of the bar and he had it grooved out and he had nails hidden on each side. And this thing was so stinking solid. It took me 3 Milwaukee batteries in my Sawzall in like 4 hours to get this thing out of my house. But you know what? As I started to tear this thing apart and rip it up, my respect for this guy grew and grew and grew. I went upstairs, I told him, I was like, this guy knew what he was doing. As much as I complained about his work, he actually did a really good job. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't teared it apart. And sometimes to see the work that God is doing, you got to start to rip off layers. And to see what God is really doing in your life and for other people to see what God is doing in your life, he has to put us through suffering so that people can really see what he's doing in your life and so that you can see what God is doing in your life. So that God is put on display. And we can see God at work. And this kind of testimony is the best testimony we can have. So when it starts getting pulled apart, it doesn't become less impressed, but more impressed because of the work of God. Suffering reveals God's work in us. And then thirdly, suffering shows us the greatness of the gospel. Suffering shows us the greatness of the gospel. You know, he says, here in verse 17, he says, "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey God? And if righteousness, or if the righteousness is scarcely, or the righteous is scarcely saved, what will be become of the ungodly and the sinner?" You know, sometimes we, in our suffering, we lose sight of the greatness of the gospel. In our suffering, we lose sight of what God has given us and done for us. And we need to be reminded, we need to step back and see what God is doing and has done. That's what Peter's doing. He says, listen, for it is time for the judgment to begin. Okay, that judgment, that word means purification. For purifying, God is purifying this world from the moment that we sinned back in Genesis 3. God has been having his plan of redemption, and we're getting close to the end, and God is purifying. He says, just like he did with the nation of Israel, he's doing in the church now. He's starting in his own house. He is purifying us. He is judging us, and it is it's not an easy thing. When God's judgment comes on us, when God's purification, where he puts us through this suffering to grow us out of our sin and grow us into more Christ-likeness, it's really hard. You know, that's what he's saying. Listen, he's going to start in his own house, and it's really difficult. But what is it going to be like for those outside of God's house? When God's judgment comes, when God's purification comes to this world outside of God's house, it's going to be a lot worse. When God's judgment comes, it doesn't purify, it condemns to hell, because God can't live in proximity to sin. You know, heaven wouldn't be perfect with sin. Sin has to be taken care of. And the only thing that takes care of that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, this is hard, and this purification is going to happen. You know, he goes back and he quotes from the Proverbs. He says, if the righteous is scarcely saved, because that doesn't mean that God couldn't save us. That doesn't mean that God had a problem. God didn't have a problem saving us. It did cost him a lot. But what that word scarcely means, there's really only one way. Okay, scarcely, it means there's no other way. The only way that you and I can be saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection on our behalf. That's how we are saved. There is no other way. That's why it's scarcely. That is it. He says, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Listen, the opposite side of the gospel is hell. And so when we look at our sufferings, a lot of times we get bent out of shape, but we gotta step back and be like, no, man, the gospel is so good. The gospel has changed me and transformed me. And the suffering is allowing me to understand that. And I need to be on display so that I can represent this to other people. I was in college one summer. I worked third shift in a factory. I made medical supplies. This is what I did. And so I would work in these different presses. And me and my cousin, he was living with us at the time. We worked in this one factory, and we hated it. Okay, it was all night long running these things. And because they were silicone medical supplies, it was very precise. You had to have everything right. And so you had to pay attention. We had to wear these like lab suits and things like that. I didn't have a beard. I always wished I did. So every now and then I'd wear a beard cover just because I wanted one. But, you know, we had to wear all of these coverings because we couldn't contaminate anything. And we had to be really precise. And we listened to the same radio station every night. And we could only talk to people about once every hour. And we could move around. It was the worst. Okay. At least I thought it was the worst as a 21-year-old. But it was the worst. And then my brothers, I have two younger brothers, they got back from college too. And they got a job at a factory working third shift right down the road from us. So it worked out real nice. We could drive together. And their job, they worked in a factory that the factory never got below 100 degrees because the presses were so hot. And not only that, but they like were big presses, and they had to be walking around and like adjusting them the whole time. So they were always getting burnt all over the place. And they had to have these massive fans blowing because it was so warm. So they had to wear these headsets so they couldn't talk to anybody or hear anybody. And they worked, you know, 4 hours at a time before they would ever get a break. And my job still made more money. And so when they started working that job, I never said a thing again. It's like, my job is awesome. And, okay, I did complain sometimes, but it gave me a perspective. When I started to see, I was like, all right, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Like, that's way, thank you guys for getting that job because you just saved my heart and my summer. But we need to do in this, in suffering, we need to step back and see the alternative sometimes. We need to step back and be like, no, man, the gospel is good. This is hard. God is purifying us. But the alternative, no way. And so the suffering shows us the greatness of the gospel. And there's been so many times, you know, I just think back, I'll talk more about this in detail some other time, but, you know, we've talked a lot about this, you know, but Ashley and I have gone through multiple miscarriages. And there have been many times when I've been just sitting there and like, I have no idea how anybody would get through this without Jesus. I have no idea how people could go through what we are going through without the hope of the gospel. And suffering really needs to show us the greatness of the gospel because the alternative is hell. And man, that's a lot worse. And lastly, this is how Peter closes this section off. This is verse 19. He says, Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing good. How do we do all of this? How do we put all this together? How do we put God on display? We trust God and live rightly. We trust God and live rightly. This is how he wraps this up. And this is really the crux of this whole book. How do we walk the narrow path? How do we continue to have an influence? We trust God and live right. He says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. We suffer according to God's will. And when we start to think about that, your first reaction, my first reaction at least, is like, are you serious? Like this, that's hard, man. Jaden, that's hard. But when you start to realize it, that my suffering really is a part of God's will, it gives purpose to my suffering. When I start to realize that my suffering was put here by God so I can display God, so I can show off God, so I can learn about God and his work in me, this was God's will that I suffer. It was God's will that I suffer. All right. When he says, entrust their souls to the faithful Creator. What do we do in suffering when we start to understand that is God's will? We entrust our souls to the Lord. We entrust our souls to the faithful Creator. He goes all the way back to the very beginning of time and says, yeah, the guy who created us. And the one we talked about before that we spit in his face, but then put his plan of redemption into place and has shown his faithfulness time and time and time again. And we've seen his faithfulness in the person of Jesus. We've seen his faithfulness in our own life time and time again. Yeah, that guy, yeah, that's the one we put our trust in. That's the one we put our trust in. When we come into times of suffering, we say, Lord, take my soul. That soul that he's talking about is the eternal part of us, the part of us that's going to last and the part of us that connects with God. He's saying, entrust that. And out of that soul is our desires and our emotions and the things we long for. You know what happens when we suffer a lot of times? I turn to a stupid bowl of ice cream. That's what I do. We have these dumb vices. We start to suffer and we entrust our souls to Netflix. We entrust our souls to the news. We entrust our souls to sleep. We entrust our souls to whatever hobby you do. I just gotta let it go. You know what that does for us? Nothing. Nothing. That coffee? I know. Jesse, why? I know it's dumb. That coffee won't do it. We need to entrust our souls to the living God, the faithful God. Lord, you are working on me in this trial. I am going to trust you and continue to do good. So he says, entrust your souls to the faithful creator while doing good. You want to put God on display? That's it, right there. Live as a Christian. Live as a Christ follower. In your moments of suffering and trials, don't run. Understand that's a test from God. It's a normal part of your life. Understand that that is going to put God on display. And that the gospel at work in that trial is far better than anything else. And so, God, I'm going to trust you and continue to live the way you've called me to. And that's going to be the greatest impact that we ever live. When I went through a season where I was kind of an adrenaline junkie. And hopefully it's passed. I've had 5 kids now, so that's had a back way off. But during that time, I went bungee jumping a couple times. And I'm a little bit afraid of heights. Like, I'm not terrified of heights, but I definitely have, like, you know, if there's a cliff, I'll, like, oh, that's good, and kind of back away. You know, I'll get there, and then I won't stay there. But I have a little bit afraid of heights. And the first time I went bungee jumping, and the second, and the third, this happened every time. You know, I would get up there, and I would sit there and watch these guys go. And there's this, like, it's a 150-foot cage thing that you or it's a big arch that bring, there's a little cage that kind of goes up and brings you up. And I'd watch them connect somebody in, and they'd get in the cage, and then they'd go up, and then whoosh, whoosh. At first, I was really excited. And then as it got closer and closer to my turn and closer to me doing it, I started, like, why am I doing this? It's so stupid. And, like, I couldn't tell people that. Like, I can't admit that out loud. But, like, I was terrified. And finally, we got to the point where I walked up onto the deck, and they put the little strap around my feet, and then I kind of, like, inched into the cage section on this side, so I should be going this way. We inched into the cage. Like, my heart is just racing, and I am terrified, and I start going up this cage. I'm like, there's no way I'm getting out of this thing. Not a chance. Like, they're going to have to push me out. And then I just sit there the whole time reminding myself, I just watched 50 people jump out of this thing. I just saw this bungee cord do it. I just watched that person and that person and that person. I'm not going to die. And if I do, Lord, you are good. And finally, I got up there and I was like, oh. I was like, all right. I watched this go. And then the guy's like, all right, on the count of 3. I just went, poof. But it took me reminding myself time and time again, I just saw this person. I just saw that person. I just saw that person. That's what we have to do with Christ. Lord, you are good and faithful. I've seen your faithfulness time and time again. Lord, I'm going to trust you and live rightly. I'm not going to turn to the same stupid things I turn to every time. I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to do what you have called me to do, and I'm going to rest my soul in you because you are the faithful creator. Our suffering needs to put God on display. And if we are going to have an impact in this culture, if we're going to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, it starts right here. And as you go back this week, and as you start to kind of work this through in your week, you know, we have to reorient our minds. Suffering is a normal part of life that God uses. And a lot of times suffering, and that, you know, for me, it's a fear of suffering. I hate suffering. And it's that fear of potential suffering that keeps me from putting on God on display time and time again. And we have to throw that out the door. God, this is your life. Use it. And a lot of us are in times and seasons of trials and sufferings right now. And I don't know your current situation, but you do. But as you start to look at that, man, God is trying to work in you. He's trying to show himself faithful to you and allow you to see him at work. And he's trying to use you to display him to the world. But how are you doing it? Are you trusting God and living rightly? Are you trusting God and living as God has called you to? The band's going to come back down. We're going to do one more song. And as we sing this song, I just want to encourage you to take some time and just say, Lord, what is this? How do I need to trust you? What is the ways? Maybe it is, you know, giving up of a pattern of life that you have. Maybe it is you are not trusting God enough to, you know, there's somebody that you've been called to proclaim the gospel to and you haven't because you're afraid of what they'll say and do. Maybe it's somebody that you know that you need to be praying for and you just don't want to because you know the outcome of that. You don't want to trust God because you know if you start praying for that person, you might start to hope again and get burnt again. You know, maybe it's you've been in a season for a long time and you're angry at God because of the suffering he's brought. You got to remember the other side. Man, the gospel is so good even in suffering. And Lord, let me see your gospel anew so that I can be put on full display. And then we need to walk that narrow path. Lord, I'm going to choose to walk that narrow path and you're going to redeem my suffering. And so I'm going to just be put on display. I'm going to trust God and live rightly. God, we come before you this morning. God, we're so grateful to be able to be together. And God, we're so thankful for a book like 1 Peter. And God, just a book that continues to challenge me and grow me. And God, I pray that it would be fruitful in our lives this week. And God, I pray that we would just be able to apply this to our suffering. God, we would be able to apply this to the things that are going on in our life even now. And God, the people, when they would see this, Lord, that you would be put on display. God, not us, not our good works, not our hopes and desires and dreams, but God, you. And your glory. And God, I pray for anybody in this building, in this room right now, God, who's been in a season of suffering and it's been hard and it's been difficult. And God, that they don't know up from down. God, I pray that your gospel would speak to them today. And God, that they would be able to see you in their life and see how even in the hardships, you have been faithful. And God, that you would be put on display in their life. And God, they would be encouraged and moved to a point of rejoicing. Because we get to share in the sufferings of Christ. God, keep our hope on eternity, Lord. And help us to live rightly and do good. God, help us to walk that narrow path. And God, give you all the glory and praise.